Teaching is our passion. We at The Wall Street Skinny are proud to announce that we've joined the advisory board for the iConnections Funds for Teachers initiative, focused on supporting the Ron Clark Academy and its pioneering teaching methods. Through Funds for Teachers, iConnections is dedicated to empowering educators nationwide by providing access to RCA's professional development opportunities. Events are being organized in major cities throughout the year to fundraise and support this incredibly important cause. All proceeds from these events will be directly donated to the Ron Clark Academy, specifically to financially aid teachers so they can participate in RCA's groundbreaking training programs. Please click on the link in our show notes to register for an event in the city nearest you.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to the Wall Street Skinny with Kristen and Jen. This is Kristen.
I'm Jen.
And I think we actually are going to be changing the name of this to now The Skinny On, and then it will be whatever we talk about. So in the preview we're going to chat about today, we want to chat about Kim Kardashian missing the target of $1 billion to $2 billion she was looking to raise in her private equity fund. So we're going to talk about some of the things going on just in the fundraising environment. We want to talk earnings. There's obviously been a number of huge Mag 7 companies that have reported recently. Jen's going to talk more on what's going on in the markets. And what else do we want to touch on? Oh, TikTok ban, obviously super important. So
yeah, lots to cover today.
Lots to cover. What should we start with?
Well, if you are watching the markets right now, this is Thursday morning, April 25th. It is risk off across the board. So equities are down, interest rates are selling off. And forgive me if we've talked about this before in the past and haven't explained it properly. But when I say risk on, risk off, historically, when you think theoretically about how people trade different asset classes, you have riskier asset classes like stocks, and you have flight to quality asset classes like U.S. treasuries, right? Mm-hmm. And the two used to move in opposite directions. Either it was, ooh, I'm in a risk on mindset, I'm going to pile my money into riskier assets, or I'm in a risk off mindset, I'm going to pile my money into safer asset classes. But ever since really the advent of quantitative easing and the current monetary policy cycle that we've been in since the global financial crisis, we tend to see those two asset classes actually move in tandem up and down at the same time. So when we have an overall risk off move, it's sell equities and sell bonds. And an overall risk on move is buy equities and buy bonds. Just buy everything or sell everything.
Buy everything.
And so, right? And so we are effectively seeing a big risk off move today. And what I think is happening is a combination of a number of factors. We had some economic data today. We had GDP and we had PCE. So we talked
what
a couple
is PCE?
Of weeks ago.
I hear that all the time and this sounds it's really embarrassing.
It's personal consumption. It's personal consumption. So it's another it's another metric that the Fed watches that points to measures of inflation. And that number is high, but GDP actually missed. So GDP is softer than expected. But the portion of GDP that is consumer spending is still high. So all these inflation metrics are still pointing to much higher than expected inflation numbers, which now has any forecast for the Fed cutting rates pushed out to December. So bonds have sold off, I think 8 or 10 basis points already so far this morning, driven by expectations that monetary policy will stay tighter for longer. And there's also structural things at play here because we've had an inverted yield curve now where short-term rates are higher than long-term rates for 2 years at this point, right? Usually inverted yield curves are shorter lived and come before a recession. We have seen this prolonged period of an inverted yield curve that has not actually been followed by a recession. So with this data continuing to come in that we're going to see high inflation but low growth, that's starting to make people feel much more nervous about the likelihood of a soft landing, quote unquote, if there's going to be any landing at all. And we also have had disappointing earnings. So Meta's earnings came out and they are piling all of their money into AI. So Mark Zuckerberg is telling everyone to just, hey, be patient, right? Like we are all in on AI. We're spending a ton on this. Don't worry about the fact that our revenues are down. Well, speaking of revenues, by the way, we are trying to hand you our money to get Facebook verified.
Yes. Sorry, I need to rant for 1 minute about this because I spent multiple hours the other day trying to get a impersonator account taken down. I need to read you this chat. Hold on. My husband's former coworker messaged him and was like, did the Wall Street Skinny get hacked, or do they have a bot employee that doesn't know how to spell my name and doesn't know the difference between your and Y-O-U apostrophe R-E?
Oh, my God.
They follow our followers, and then they're like, hi, so-and-so, how are you doing? I hope you're currently enjoying my platform. And then they try to sell them a crypto scam. So this is happening to us on TikTok. This is happening to us on Meta. By the way, we will talk about the TikTok ban. But on the Meta side, we keep trying to get verified so we can protect against them, and they just keep rejecting that.
So yeah, so guys, your earnings would be way better if you would let accounts like us pay you for the support that we need in order to keep people from scamming. And Kristen has recently informed anyone who's following us on social media that you can tell the difference between the two of us by who double spaces after a period. It is me, and who does not. But also, neither of us would ever deign to fail to properly use your, like, it's not happening for either of us, even if Kristen is riddled with typos.
The typos are all me. I'm gonna just like
can't spell Berkeley. For anyone who's listening from UC Berkeley, she has no idea how your college is spelled. I'm sorry.
No, because I rely on autocorrect, and I feel like it autocorrects incorrectly anyway. But yes, the grammar like that I am good with. So if there is a grammar mistake, that is definitely a bot.
But anyway, so Meta's earnings were weaker than expected. And so, again, we are just seeing this risk-off move across the board. It is sell everything. I don't know if you guys watched Three Body Problem, but it's like in an unstable environment where they're like, dehydrate, okay? It's like sell everything, flee, batten down the hashes, put your money in.
People probably don't know that Three Body, like it basically people, when the crazy sun is coming or they know it's going to be an unstable era in this like crazy world that they live in, they stand in the sun and all the water comes out and they turn into like paper, and then you can roll them up, and then you can rehydrate them. It's like the weirdest
thing. That's right. If you don't get the reference, you should read the book.
Or watch the show. The book.
No, don't watch the show. It's not good.
But no, what's been interesting too is that actually even when you've had decent earnings or earnings that have meet or exceeded expectations, like I feel like the market's just looking for any reason to sell. JP Morgan, their earnings were great, and it still is down. Netflix, same thing. Their earnings came in great. Like they had way more subscribers than expected, I think. So Netflix announced.
Is that because of the password sharing crackdown that they now have more subscribers? Okay.
Exactly. I think that's what happened. So the market was expecting that they would have a consensus add of new subscribers in Q1 of like 5.1 million. And it was actually 9.3. So they were obviously like significantly up. They have a total of 270-ish million members. And just as like a relative data point, so there's 300 million people in the U.S. Disney Plus has 150 million. So these are great numbers. And especially in this sort of streaming world where it's actually really hard because a lot of people will get a membership and then they will cancel as soon as they have watched the show and they don't need it anymore. I know I do that. But like Netflix just has such amazing content that nobody
I love how you have the discipline to cancel your streaming membership, but none of our like one-off things that you try for 5 minutes and then we realize we're paying for them 6 months later.
Seriously.
So good to know this is a selective application.
It's after I've probably spent more than I should have on whatever it is. And then like, I can't even tell you how many New York Times subscriptions I had. And then like, I was paying for like five of them because I had it on like different email accounts because I signed up for like a free month and then forgot to cancel. No, it's terrible. I'm so bad about that.
By the way, if you guys really see that I am like sweating and coughing, I'm getting over the flu. And subscription speaking, by the way, this is not a paid advertisement, whatever, but I really wanted to kick the flu. And I went to this place called the Invigory in Charlotte. They have like these places by different names in other states. I asked my college roommate who lives in Wisconsin what they call it in her state. And it's Badger State Hydrate or something like that, which is terrible. I would never
like the opposite. The Three Body Problem supposed to go.
But they give you an IV like full of vitamins and stuff like that to help you kick being sick. And it actually really, really worked. I'm in such better shape than I was, but I'm still like sweaty and coughing. So I apologize. All right. Sorry. Keep going.
Sorry. Really? Yeah. So on the Netflix announcements, the other thing that they said is that they were going to stop disclosing subscriber numbers in 2025. and stop disclosing the average revenue per member. And so their claim is that this is to focus on different tiering, right? And focus on revenue, operating margin, and look at engagement as a proxy for customer satisfaction. But I think that the market also took it as like, so you basically think you're not going to be growing as much. So now you're going to try to like,
You think this was a one-off boost. Yeah, that's like McDonald's saying like, we're no longer going to report on like how many cheeseburgers we're going to sell. Yeah. We're going to report on how quickly you get through the drive-thru line. Like that makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. But so overall, though, I mean, again, their Q1, everything came in a better than expected, right? Their revenues were better expected, $9.4 billion versus $9.24. Their net income was better than expected, EPS better than expected, everything better. But their guidance was below expectations. And so as a result, you know, stock dropped 6.7%, I think, in like the pre-market after. So it's like, again, to your point, Jen, on just risk off, it's like any
excuse for bad news.
Is causing a drop. It's interesting, though, because obviously we're seeing a lot of, again, to your point, this like risk off. I think like so many people wonder, is this a peak? And I have to shout out the Compound and Friends because I love those guys. They had an interesting data scientist on who was talking about how never, I think in the history of, I don't know how long back they were tracking, they've never seen a peak in Q2. It's always been either in January or December. And actually, speaking of things being disappointing, right, Kim Kardashian, for those of you guys following, it was, I think, 2 years ago she announced she was forming Sky Equity Partners. She partnered up with some former Carlisle
people. Is it two K's or two Y's?
I feel like it should be two K's for Kim Kardashian. I think she really... Let me just double check. Yeah, it's two Ks. It's KK.
Okay,
again,
got it.
As a fellow KK, like, respect. And so she was targeting $1 to $2 billion fund. They obviously have gone out and started to fundraise, right? Because if you want to raise a private equity fund, like, you actually have to get limited partners, right? Those LPs, you got
to
raise money.
You have to get money to raise a private equity fund?
Shocker.
What?
I know.
Wild.
Shocker. But if you think about just what's going on in the markets right now, it's actually a really hard environment to fundraise, right? It's a hard environment to get institutional investors to give you money, especially for a first-time fund. She doesn't have a track record. Her celebrity can do great things for various companies, right? We saw her Skims business is valued at $4 billion. And so again, she can do amazing things there, but she's obviously incredibly busy. And people don't want to necessarily just have this celebrity that obviously picks up the valuation of the business, because then when you go to sell, you now no longer have her. It's like that could be problematic as you're thinking about the investment that you're making. Now, on the side with just what's going on in the markets generally from a fundraising standpoint, if you think about this whole David Swensen model, we've talked about this in the past, these institutional investors, your pension funds, your endowments, right? You have, I don't know, Princeton Endowment. How much do you guys have? $40 billion? Let me look this up.
I gotcha. $35.8 billion, it says.
Okay. So, you know, you have these various endowments. Again, Princeton's endowment's $35 billion. I think the Browns is like eight, just to give some.
You guys are still doing just fine, all right? Well, $8 billion is nothing to sneeze at.
But they have to obviously decide how they're going to invest their money. And so they put some amount into equities, some amount into fixed income, some amount into the alternatives. That's your private equity. That's your hedge funds. That's your real estate. And they are currently overweight private equity. They have too much money invested in private equity. There have been limited distributions. So historically, you normally invest and then you get money back. You can invest, right? There have not been a lot of distributions this year. And they're still getting capital calls, right? So in the private equity space, if you're Princeton and you commit $100 million to some fund, you don't write that check on day one. As they find the different investments they want to make, they call capital. So you have to actually keep sending them money. So they're still getting capital calls from the private equity firms. So they're not exactly like super excited to go out and potentially give more money to a brand new private equity fund. Mm-hmm. Additionally, from a marketer in the space, they basically are saying that there is like the least amount of appetite right now to invest in alts in the hedge funds, private equity, real estate since 2008. And if you think about it this way, right, like you can make 5% on cash on US, you put your money into US treasuries and you're getting 5% risk-free. Valuations are at an all-time high. A lot of private equity firms are actually scaling back on the retail side, and she's a consumer focused fund, like they're making investments in consumer retail. So it just makes sense that
doesn't
it
feel
is
good.
Not. Yeah. So everything makes sense. And, you know, had she been going out trying to do this fund 5 years ago, like could have been a very different story. And actually related to Kim Kardashian, just because this is timely and it ties into our Taylor Swift combos that we have been having, I saw that she lost 120,000 followers the day after the Taylor Swift track came out.
Kim Kardashian lost 120,000 followers.
the day after. So Taylor Swift and Kim Kardashian have had this historical feud that goes back to Kanye West and a line that I think in 2016, Kanye put out an album and said something along the lines of like, I made that bitch famous, referencing when she was probably 14 and won her very first Grammy. And Kanye took the microphone from her and said, this should have been Beyonce's award, which started this whole thing. There was just a lot of drama that unfolded. And so Taylor Swift has this new song out, Thank You, Amy, but she capitalizes the letter K, I, and M in the title of the song, Thank You, Amy. And so it's clearly about Kim Kardashian. She literally says, my mom.
Where is there an I in Thank You, Amy?
A-I-M-E-E. She spells Amy, A-I-M-E-E. Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
So it's a sorry, different. Yeah.
For those of you who are not Taylor Swift fans,
I am the lens with which. I don't care. Jen was like, we were talking about this like drama yesterday, and she's like, I just don't care. I do.
Listen, the only musical drama that I care about is I was on TikTok, which is about to get banned or whatever, and we can talk about this next, going down the rabbit hole of the Stevie Nicks, Lindsey Buckingham, you know, rocky romance over the years and watching found footage of them from like, okay, Fleetwood Mac. Arguably one of the best bands of all time. I know you've heard of them, and I know you've heard of Stevie Nicks.
Yes,
and I know I've heard of Stevie Nicks because she did a song with Miley Cyrus.
Probably. I haven't heard of the other person. Who's the other person?
Lindsey Buckingham was
the
man that she was in a relationship with, was another member, and was the lead guitarist in Fleetwood Mac. And she wrote Silver Springs, or they wrote it together about each other. Oh, my God. Here's the thing. All you youngins out there listening to this, okay? You can only appreciate things that are new if you understand the historical context. They are so much richer if you understand the references and where these things came from. So
spoiler,
I would highly encourage you. By 4 months, okay? But if you... It would behoove you all to go back and get an education in classic rock, in classical music, all these things. It will make you appreciate the Taylor Swifts of the world or the other derivatives so much more if you understand the history and how deeply rooted these things are. So whatever. That's the only musical drama I've been getting into. But let's talk about TikTok.
Yeah. Well, so Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, bundled together aid for Ukraine, Israel, and the TikTok ban all into one. Passed the House, passed the Senate, signed into law. So I think in the ban, they have, and actually I feel like the word ban is maybe the wrong word.
It's a divestiture, right?
Probably, yeah. Because if you talk to people or listen to like people that kind of know what they're talking about, there's so much money on the line.
Unlike us.
Unlike us, yeah. But it sounds like the odds that they decide to divest is pretty high because there's just so much money at stake. So the odds that this gets actually banned is not that high. And so the word ban is, I think, a little misleading. But they do want they want the Chinese government to divest TikTok. So, or ByteDance.
It's ByteDance. Chinese government.
And so, I mean, look, my feelings on it is like, if it was an actual ban, and I think the word ban, like I said, is not the right word, but if it was an actual ban, I mean, that's actually terrifying for people who are creators who are trying to make money this way. I think that that's very problematic. I mean, look, obviously I have kids and I totally get why this is so dangerous. Again, at the same time, I mean, like the platform has been livelihoods for a lot of people. Now we are very fortunate because our follower count on TikTok is not massive. But I mean, I do think that it is something that I could see people being very upset about, even though I think
I've heard from other creators, though, who feel strongly enough, like I do, at least personally, that if the damage is outweighing the good being done, there are other places for us to go make money.
Yeah.
Nature abhors a vacuum. Let's go fill the vacuum that's going to be left by TikTok with other more positive, less indoctrinating methods. So unfortunately, I think that much of the damage has already been done. And this is, you know, closing the barn doors long after the horse has gotten out. As a creator, I'm fine with it. As a parent, I'm fine with it. And I really would love someone to make a cohesive argument for why something that has done so much damage needs to be allowed to continue in its current form. I'm here for it if you want to make that argument. I just have not seen it made in a compelling way.
Yeah. I think that the arguments against it that I have heard, and it's so funny, there's certain pundits, and it's as soon as it's like, if your team, Republican or Democrat, it's like as soon as Trump now says that he's for it again, it's like now you see Republican pundits all of a sudden for keeping it and allowing it, and it's violating free speech. It's so funny how people kind of flip-flop. But now, the one argument that I've heard is that because of how it had to be written, it was like they can't just single out TikTok. So it was like, okay, if you have investments from foreign adversaries up to a certain amount. And so then it becomes, okay, well, how do you define all of this stuff? And then it opens the doors for other types of investments. So it's one of these things where, again, it's like because of the specific language in the ruling, that's where you start to get people that are not in love with that. And it, look, yeah. It's going to go to the Supreme Court. It's still going to get litigated. So it's not an outright thing that in, I think it's what, 365 days is when it would have to get banned?
I don't know. You're way more of an expert on this than I am.
Yeah, I wouldn't call myself an expert, but my understanding is that I think it's about a year, but there's a lot of hoops that are going to have to be jumped through before this even becomes a real thing. So any of our TikTok-loving fans, you're probably safe. It probably is going to be sold at some point. We'll see.
Yeah. To your point about people aligning their thinking along party lines, which is mm-hmm. the stupidest thing in the world. Our friend Camilo Acosta, who is our venture capitalist friend who did our Venture Capital 101 episode, shared a meme this morning. And it's a depiction of a glowing soul leaving a body. And the caption is, "The Democrat leaving my body after hearing about the 44.6% capital gains tax proposal." And I don't know if people are talking about this as much yet, because there is a new proposal by the Biden administration that would set the capital gains tax to the upper bracket for anyone making over $1 million, which, like, not to be like, oh, I'm such a man of the people, like, anyone over $1 million, like, that's going to pretty much encompass everyone we're talking about in the financial services industry across the sell side and the buy side at certain levels. It would be pretty meaningful. And so it'll be interesting to see if that can pass. Anything else that we should cover?
Saturday, we are going to be releasing our episode going through credit strategy. So do you want to talk just a little bit about what we have coming up this weekend?
Yeah, we had the opportunity to interview Dominique Toublon, who is the head of U.S. credit strategy at Barclays Capital. He is awesome. He's a former professor who then went to Wall Street and has applied, I think, his really thoughtful brand of analysis to the credit markets. And it's really a 101 about how these strategy groups work within the bank, less of an overview of the markets in general. But I think super fascinating for anyone who is considering a career on the sell side. This form of strategy is very different from, say, the equity research that we talked about with Steve Haggerty in our equity research episode. So super interesting, an entire career path for people that I think will be really surprisingly interesting if it's something you haven't thought of or considered before. So we're going to get into that on Saturday. And I think that wraps it up.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys. Bye. We'll see you next week. Bye.